You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool.
Give me a ticket for an aeroplane. Ain't got time to take a fast train. Lonely days are gone, I'm a-going home. My baby just wrote me a letter. I don't care how much money I gotta spend. Got to get back to my baby again. Lonely days are gone, I'm a-going home. My baby just wrote me a letter.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we selected that particular number because we are about to dip into the TPC mailbag this segment before we come back after the next break with our second of two incredible guests tonight, Pastor Brett McAtee. But first, that song, what do we know about the singer of that song, Keith? The Letter, the Box Tops.
Named Alex Chilton of Memphis. We start off the hour with a little Memphis music on this. That was his first recording. And it was also his only number one recording. Although he had a bunch of hits, he was the beneficiary of Chips Moman's magic touch. He was a producer over at American Studios, and that's where that was recorded. Thomas Boggs, who has a chain of restaurants in Memphis called Huey's, was the drummer. And all of that was just a great, great period of time. That was number five in England, number one in Canada, and number one in the United States.
And the United States is all that matters. If you don't believe me, just ask the Beatles. They could have ruled the UK anyway.
Well, Cliff Richard did rule the UK back in the pre-Beatle days, but, we know him about Gypsy Woman and stuff like this, a few little recordings he made in the 60s and early 70s. But, see, you're right. The U.S. market was so much larger than the British market.
Well, David Frost said that. David Frost of the Nixon interview, the infamous Nixon interview. If you haven't made it in the United States, you haven't made it at all. Well, let's go to the mailbag. We have gotten a lot of letters, hence the song, this week from listeners all around the world. And let's share a few of those. Can you stand a little good news? I don't know. It'd be so far off the beaten path of what we've been covering in recent weeks.
Slow me down. I'm not used to that.
Mr. Edwards. I just made my first of what I hope is several donations. Just wanted to tell you and Mr. Alexander, thank you for providing the truth and always staying consistent with your message. And that comes from a listener in Georgia. Thank you so much. Another listener? I don't know who wrote that. But I appreciate it. But maybe that
Wherever
was Mike
are.
In Georgia. Mike in Georgia. I think that was you. I hope that was you. Mike in Georgia. Yes, it was, and he continues. This is a second piece of correspondence. I cannot thank you and Mr. Alexander enough for your show. Keep up the good work. I hope this donation buys you and Mr. Alexander a dinner at that barbecue place he's always talking about. Keith, that would be Bozo's. He also wishes me a happy birthday. Well, hey, you didn't beat our friend Kim in Missouri to the punch. Kim was the first to wish me a happy birthday, even before you, Keith, even before my own wife.
Oh, my gosh. I tell you what.
What are we going to do?
It shows you who's close to you now.
Let's see. Another Mike. Michael in New York. Michael writes, keep fighting the good fight and spreading the truth in these insane times we live in. All the best to you and your family. Well, Michael, I return that right back at you. First-time writer, long-time listener, Keith, Kevin in South Dakota. Did you ever think, Keith, when you were a young man, you would have listeners in the state of South Dakota one day?
No, we're going to find out we have one in Siberia next.
Hello, James, he writes. I've been listening to your program off and on for 8 years now, and I just wanted to say that you have a great show and you're an honorable dissident. It's good to see someone from the younger generation picking up the torch like you are. Keep up the good work. Kevin in South Dakota. Well, Kevin, thank you, and thank you for the kind words. Keith, we had our 15th anniversary celebration last fall, and we just so happened to have a member of that conference, an attendee of that conference, come all the way from Brazil.
I remember him. Great guy.
And Eduardo, yes. We can't say enough about Eduardo.
In fact, I still have the card. He sent me a Christmas card, I believe, and it was so memorable that it's on permanent display on my what do you call that thing? Buffet. That's what a piece of furniture is.
Okay. Well, he sent you a Christmas card, but let me tell you, he gave me a bottle of Brazilian whiskey.
Well, good.
And I can't pronounce it, but it's I believe it's Espirito de Minas.
Well, there's not very much left in there, so you must have enjoyed it.
Well, I did bring it to the studio tonight because I wanted to tell Eduardo that we are going to share a drink of this after the show. Not during, not before, but after. After the show, we will share a drink, Eduardo, in your honor. I did bring it to the show tonight because I was going to read this piece of correspondence, and this is what Eduardo writes. Hi, James and Keith. I hope you and your families are well. I have just now listened to your last show. How great was that? I've been listening for 10 years, and I have never missed a broadcast. But your last one was incredible. You, Keith, and the guests were spectacular. Your show keeps getting better and better. And so, Keith, because of that piece of correspondence, me and you are going to have a toast to Eduardo's honor. With the very same bottle he gave us.
I don't know if there's enough left in there for two drinks.
Well, you know, he gave it to me last year, so you could say I've been nursing it. But, yes, there will be
enough. It has a nipple on the end of the bottle.
Ladies and gentlemen, I've said this before. The older I get, the more I realize that everything I have ever believed in has been true. Everything I've ever fought for has been worth it.
James once thought that he was wrong, but he was mistaken.
Ladies and gentlemen, I will turn 40 years old on Monday. I have been engaged as a public activist for my entire adult life. I started working for Pat Buchanan when I was 19 years old. I ran for a seat in the Tennessee State Legislature when I was 21. I founded the Political Cesspool Radio Program when I was 24. That was 16 years ago. It's been an amazing life, a life I can be proud of, one I have lived with no regrets. Birthdays remind us how quickly the hands of time do spin, but they also present us with an opportunity for reflection. And I want you to know how much you mean to me and to Keith and to all of us here at the Political Cesspool and Liberty News Radio. What a rewarding adventure it continues to be. I consider it an honor to be able to share special occasions with the best listening audience in all of radio. And from the bottom of my heart, I thank y'all for taking part in this journey with us. We've accomplished so much together, and I hope that we will continue to do so for many, many years to come, just as we have already been together for many, many, many years. I just want you to know that on my birthday and every day, I am thankful to have the love and support of so many wonderful people. I will always work hard to give you my very best. And I just wanted to say that will be the last, this will be the last broadcast we do before I turn 40. Keith, how old was I when you met me?
You're barely legal.
Time does go by, doesn't it, friend?
That's right. I'll tell you what, but it's been an amazing ride. It really has.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you want the ride to continue, we are not only in the midst, not only at the halfway point, we are rounding the corner of our second quarter fundraising drive for 2020. We've got some great incentive gifts, including the Defending Dixie Special Edition of the Barnes Review. Our friends at the Barnes Review have made those available as our incentive gift, and much, much more as well. If you could contribute $100 or more, I tell you what, that would be one fantastic birthday gift. There is nothing I want more on my 40th birthday to be able
than
to
$100
to be able to continue to serve you, Keith.
Yeah, look,
we're editing that out.
We got to edit that out. No, I'm trying to be funny, but it is a labor of love, folks.
No, it absolutely is a labor of love. And we love you, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back with Pastor Brett McAtee as the show continues.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation. and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And now back to tonight's show.
Ladies and gentlemen, we'll never get to them all. We're trying to get to as many as we can. If we didn't read yours, don't think we appreciated it any less. But just a couple of more grabs out of the mailbag. Here we have one from Ralph in Arkansas. Dear TPC, please keep up the good work you do fighting our enemies and waking up white Christian people. May God bless you. For Christ and Dixie, Ralph. In Arkansas. Ralph, thank you for your kind words and thank you for your contribution this month. Ed, up in Bloomsburg, Pennsylvania, Ed writes, I've read your book and considered it to be a hoot. Would you please send 3 autographed copies to Martin, Kevin, and Mark? Well, I can tell you, Ed, that I did that just yesterday, signed and inscribed. Steve, also up in the Pennsylvania area, writes, Dear James, thank you for all that y'all do. If you're ever doing an event in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, or Maryland, I'll be there. Happy birthday. Well, thank you, Steve, for the birthday wishes, and we'll certainly let you know the next time we're up in your neck of the woods. And finally, a young lady, Miss Catherine of Texas, writes, Dear James and the gang, keep up the good work, and thanks for all you do. I like all of the correspondence, Keith. I think you like the correspondence from the young ladies a little more.
Almost as much as you like the correspondence that have money in clothes.
Well, I'll tell you what, doing a volunteer radio program ain't free, but our time and efforts are voluntary, but we do need help with the bottom line. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, all kidding aside, and we're having a good time tonight, but all kidding aside, we do need your support. Without your support, you are the heartbeat of our bodies. You are the fuel to our engine. Without you...
The wind under our wings, as our friend Bette Midler says.
We got to get her on the show. But anyway, no, I mean, all kidding aside, we're having a good time tonight. We're making some jokes, but thank you for the correspondence. Thank you for everything. Thank you for your support. Without it, we're not here. And that's just the bottom line. We do not exist without your support. Now, let's continue the program with Pastor Brett McAtee. Pastor McAtee, who has become a great friend of ours and a regular Recurring guest is the husband of a wife without peer, father of three children who walk as heroes in the land, and a grandfather of nine. He is the author of Iron Ink, which is committed to thinking God's thoughts after him.
He's like George Washington, first in peace, first in war, and first in the hearts of his countrymen.
He has pastored Christ the King Reformed Church in Michigan for over 20 years. Pastor Brett, it's great to have you back on tonight. I think it's going to be a very timely appearance.
Well, thank you, James, and happy birthday.
Well, thank you, brother. I very much appreciate it. Let's get to some of your recent sermons, which I have been sent. I would like it to be known that they don't need to be sent to me because I'm listening already. I go to your website very regularly. I am so thankful for the message that comes from you and your church. Let's talk about your most recent sermon, though, the sermon on idolatry and how that factors into what we have seen, the unrest of the last few weeks, especially here in this country.
That was a couple of weeks ago now, I think. And I just was seeking to identify what the problem is. The title of the sermon was Idolatry and a New Black Marxist God, and I just laid it out that, okay, here's what the scripture teaches about idolatry. Here's where we're seeing idolatry. Idolatry is being exposed in the fact, here's one example, all the statues being changed out. That is indicative that there's a new God in town. And the way that we know that is because the old God, we might say the God of Christendom, even though we've been far from exemplary in many, many years, still it was that God that accounted for the fact that the people believed what they believed and so wanted to build the particular statuary that they had. Statues to Robert E. Lee, statues to Columbus, statues to various Roman Catholic priests, for example, that were instrumental in settling in California. There's been many, many of them. But the fact that they've been torn down is indicative of the fact that there's now a new God that people are reckoning with. And, of course, all of this is being done underneath the umbrella of Black Lives Matter, which was driven by a great deal by a Black theologian named James Cone, who, for example, said at one point, if God is white, kill God. So this is what's going on, is that by taking and pulling down these statues, it's an attack on God, the God of the white people, to be honest, that's what that statuary is of. And so that's why I identify the new idolatry of Black Marxism.
Yes, Pastor, this is Keith Alexander. Good to have you back on the show. I think what they're doing is they're telling white people that you're no longer in charge. And they, for example, I think we have Black Muslims because they see Christianity as white people's religion. But they are, and what's wrong with a lot of the pastors and particularly the denominational leadership in white churches is that they covet. There's guilty of the sin of covetousness. They wish they had a flock of black sheep, but God has assigned them a flock of white sheep, and they're constantly bridling at it. If I've said anything that spurs anything, and you just, let us know what your thoughts are on those thoughts.
Yeah, I certainly think that that's a factor. I think, though, that the bigger factor is that ministers, it's a matter of the sound of the coins in the offering plate. And right now, this whole Black Lives Matter narrative is just washing over the land. So if they want to keep their flock, they've got to sing that tune. And so I think that's what drives a great deal of the fact that our ministries, so many high-profile ministers, overwhelmingly number of ministers, are surrendering the faith for this new idol of Black Marxism. It's really disheartening and discouraging to the few of us out here who aren't throwing Christ overboard, and that's what they're doing. And I think partly also it's the fact they're just stupid. They're not well-educated people. They don't understand the dynamics of Marxism and how it's attempt to level everything. So, yeah, I do think it's about covetousness. They do want another flock, but they want another flock because they hate the God of the Bible, and so we're right back to idolatry at that point.
And for example, Bellevue Baptist in Memphis has gone full social justice warrior on us now, just like the Southern Baptist Convention. And Bellevue has been steadily losing membership over the past.
Well, you know, we talk a lot about the Southern Baptist Convention because it's the church denomination to which I had belonged until they expelled my congregation. But
along with James,
well, the entire congregation would include me. But they had claimed that the reason we needed to get rid of the Confederate flag, which is a Christian cross, by the way, the Confederate flag is nothing more than an interpreted version of the St. Andrew's cross of Scotland. St. Andrew, of course, was crucified on an X-shaped cross. He didn't feel as though he was worthy of being crucified on the same shaped cross of Jesus Christ. Not only is it a Christian flag, it is a Christian cross. But they said, it was a stumbling block for blacks, for whites in the South to continue to revere the Confederate flag and the Confederate heroes, their very own fathers. And so it was the sin of idolatry in order to do that. But that very same church now is saying we must kneel, we must beg for the forgiveness, Brett, of our new black idols. So with regard to idolatry, there is a lot of hypocrisy going on now across the denominational thread of Christianity.
Yeah, and it's not only Southern Baptists, though it's clearly there. It's other, I could list half a dozen others that it's just showing up in spades in. And the whole kneeling thing, likewise, is indicative of idolatry.
Ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned. We are only getting started tonight with Pastor Brett McAtee, a true man of God. We're going to let you know how you can worship with him online, his church. We'll give you all that information when we come back. Stay tuned.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Attorney General William Barr says President Trump has fired Jeffrey Berman, the top federal prosecutor in Manhattan, whose office is investigating the president's attorney, Rudy Giuliani. He also oversaw the indictment of Giuliani's associates, Lev Parnas and Igor Fruman, and prosecuted Trump's former personal attorney, Michael Cohen. Berman had publicly refused to step down. President Trump is distancing himself from the decision to fire him.
That's his department, not my department.
The president spoke just minutes after Barr released a statement saying the president ordered him fired immediately, but the president didn't confirm it.
That's really up to him. I'm not involved.
Barr says Berman has chosen public spectacle over public service. Berman has indicated he plans to fight to keep his job, and he may head to Capitol Hill next week to testify before Congress about it. This is USA Radio News.
Welcome to Tax Talk with Hollywood legend Bob Eubanks.
You know, as part of Hollywood for a long time, I've seen my fair share of celebrities get in trouble with the IRS. Well, there's one name I trust, the Tax Defense Group. They're the most trusted name in tax. So if you owe more than $10,000 to the IRS, you really need to call my friends at the Tax Defense Group. Ignoring the IRS is not the solution. They can garnish your paycheck, levy your bank accounts, seize your home or business. But the Tax Defense Group could put a stop to all of that and tailor a program that would reduce your tax debt to pennies on the dollar. You gotta love that. So don't just take my word for it. Call them. Find out for yourself. They offer a 100% satisfaction guarantee. And they're open 24 hours a day because they know that tax debt doesn't sleep either.
Call now for your free and confidential tax analysis from the most trusted name in tax. Call 800-832-1594. 800-832-1594.
A Latino man was shot and killed by a Los Angeles County deputy. Eyewitness 7 TV reporter Leanne Suter has the story.
Friends, family, and community members, you can see behind me here, are gathering for a vigil here near the scene where the 18-year-old was killed. They are demanding justice in a shooting that they say was completely unjustified.
I didn't even get to say goodbye to him, and it hurts me so much. I don't understand why they did this to him.
A heartbroken family demanding answers and an independent investigation. Deputies say they were patrolling Redondo Beach Boulevard when Guardado allegedly pulled out a handgun.
His family says he was working in the area as a security guard.
We had somebody keeping an eye on the front because we've been having people tagging up recently and stuff like that. And the police apparently came up and pulled a gun on him, and he got scared and ran, and one of the police officers emptied a clip into him.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Oh, yeah, oh.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
It encourages me so to know that there are still men of God who are leading brick-and-mortar churches like Pastor Brett McAtee.
And just wish we had more of them here in Memphis.
Man, ain't that the truth? And listen, I would commute up to your church in Michigan, Pastor, if it wouldn't wear out my car. I would sure do that.
And have you.
I'd be happy to do that. Well, thank you. Thank you. I mean, that certainly separates you from the Southern Baptist Convention. But tell us for those who have been similarly alienated from Christianity because of the actions of weak-minded men who present themselves as leaders of churches, how they can come to fellowship with you, even if it's virtual for now. And I know that there is nothing that substitutes.
That's whatever all the other churches are doing now, too.
Well, we're in the age of Corona Chan. But no, Pastor, give us your contact information. You have a great blog. Obviously, you have a church. And a website that people can hear your sermons on. How can they do it?
Okay, the blog is ironink.org, and I've been pretty active since January. So there's lots of material there. Our sermons are on ironsermons.org, and there's a place to click on to watch the morning sermons, and then there's the sermon audio for people who aren't able to be there right at the time that the sermon is being given. I would ask people to be patient with us. We're still working on our technical side of things here. We're a low-tech congregation, and we have a lot of good people that are doing good work, but we still have improvement to make.
Well, that's okay. We can certainly say the same about our radio broadcast, at least on our end, not certainly on the network end. Sam Bushman is a pro's pro, but we can always improve, and we should always strive to improve. But, Pastor Brett, I am so thankful for your voice. I had expected so much more of the Christian church when I was a younger man, and it has been probably more disappointing than any of the other institutional failures to see our church succumb the way that it has. And you have probably seen, as I did, talking about idolatry. Did you see the clip? Did you read the story about what Dan Cathy did on the stage of a major church in the state of Georgia?
Although it's hard to tell it was a church because there's no cross in the background.
But did you hear about that, Pastor?
Yeah, Cathy was the one with about the shoe shining, right?
That's right. And words hardly exist to fully describe how embarrassing it was to watch. I think people do need to see it. It's a perfect example of how not to behave. But yes, he said that essentially all whites should find the nearest black person and shine their shoes because we should be so guilty. The guilt for which it still escapes me. Pastor?
Yeah, Kathy's an example that you can't serve God and chicken. Clearly, it's about shekels with that guy. He understands that if he's going to keep the business going, if he's going to avoid being burnt out like Wendy's was, and it was Atlanta. Yeah, Atlanta. He's got to say this kind of stuff because that's the way things are rolling. If things start rolling in the opposite direction next week, he'd say just the opposite. It's the curse of being.
Well, you know, though, Brett, the problem is that a lot of people are leaving the church. We're always hearing these alarmist reports about America is less Christian. Well, with the message Christian churches are passing out, like major denominations. For example, James thought that the Southern Baptists were going to be the faithful remnant and all this type of stuff. I'm an Episcopalian, or at least was, and I said, look, they're going to go the same way as my church. You think that the devil is going to forget your church?
All right.
And but it is. It's so widespread now. They're just little outposts like your church and a few others. And people are not, they They're not got, when you ask for a loaf and you're given a stone, and when you ask for a fish and you're given a serpent, people go elsewhere for spiritual nourishment.
Well, all of that's true. And with regard to the Southern Baptists, not only has their membership declined steadily over the course of the past decade plus, it declined more over the course of the last 12 months than at any time in the denomination's history. Pastor, how do we make churches Christian again?
Well, Jesus said these things only go up but by prayer and fasting. So I think that's the first place to start, is on our knees, begging the Lord Christ to give us reformation, and once again preaching up Christ and Him crucified. We're frustrated by the idolatry that we're seeing, but unless the God is pleased to grant the church reformation, unless the church prays for reformation and renewal, we're not going to see any change. Second thing we have to do, I tell my people all the time, keep your children. Whatever you do, if you want change, you have to keep your children, because if you don't keep your children so they have the same worldview you do when they're 40 and 50, then complaining about what's going on everywhere else isn't going to do any good. So keep your children, catechize them, give them worldview training, help them see through the cultural smog for what it is, build up their intellect so that they can understand and not be moved by every emotion and sentiment and experience, because we're living in the emotive environment, and when the emotions switch, so does everybody else. So that's the way I tell them that you're going to have to change the churches. You're going to have to pray. You're going to have to keep your children. And then after that, whatever platform God gives you, advocate for the kingdom.
Well, Brett, let me ask this. Homeschooling is one of the ways that you can achieve what you're talking about. What do you feel about home churching for people that don't live anywhere near a church like the one that you're conducting?
I honestly have mixed feelings about home churches. Part of it's because of my Presbyterian understanding that men should be ordained who are leading churches. And so that pulls me one way. But considering what we have, the abominations that we have that we call churches, and the stuff that's being spewed out of pulpits, that pulls me in the other direction. So I would say, yeah, home church. But I think ideally the home church would be find somebody that's solid, build your home church around their ministry, and then find ways by God's grace to continue to grow and maybe even be able to bring that person in so that he can give the sacraments every quarter, every month, whatever you can do. It's a difficult place.
And you also have the you can also do it online like your church. You know, as what I've always said is that the modern church has exchanged the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John for the Gospels of Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, if you do not have a brick and I appreciate what Pastor Brett is saying. We need to be amongst other believers, other Christians in the flesh and blood. We need that fellowship. And so online audio sermons won't necessarily substitute for that. But if you are not in the proximity of a brick and mortar church, which is giving you the true voice,
true gospel
of the gospel, let me advise you, and I know I'm not pronouncing this right, but for the sake of everyone listening, Charlotte, like the city of Charlotte, North Carolina, charlottereformed.org, charlottereformed.org. There you will find the internet headquarters of Christ the King Reformed Church in Michigan, pastored by Brett McAtee. His sermons are there. His writings are there. And I cannot encourage you enough, ladies and gentlemen who share the faith of our fathers, if you are not being nourished in your local community, go there now, Pastor.
It's back to the catacombs.
Yeah, don't go to the catacombs, Pastor.
I would just something was said earlier about churches, and that's the theme that we're on now. I would leave the brick and mortar churches if I had to put up with what's typically out there. An example: I have a friend who was attending somewhere in Michigan, and the pastor said it doesn't really matter what you know, it just matters that you love. Well, he has to know that that's true, so he's in self-contradiction. To say it doesn't matter what you know is just the height of idiocy, and it's consistent with what we're finding in the intellect of our clergy. Our clergy are just Forrest Gump on steroids. It's disheartening. I said that earlier, but I'm with everybody else. I don't get it. I don't understand. But God is faithful, And this is his will, and we need to rejoice in that for this time.
We will be reduced to a faithful remnant.
Well, you know, and that's the thing, you know, the original church, the Church of Jesus Christ, was an underground church. If it has to be that again for it to flourish, for the true voice of Christ to manifest itself, then let it come. I said this in a recent interview, Pastor. There is nothing about a church house that
church building
immunizes one from the poisons of their culture. When people walk into a church house, they bring that poison in with them. They're not immune to that just by walking through the threshold of a church. And so because of that, our churches have become just as corrupt as many other institutions, and we have seen that across denominational lines. But there is still the true gospel. There is still Jesus Christ. God is still in control of this universe.
And it exists between the covers of the original King James Bible, in my opinion.
Well, and there are still men of God like Pastor Brett who can give us leadership and guidance and counsel. And as a Christian, I am so thankful for a man like that. We'll be right back with him right after this.
News Radio Network.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen. By a friend of Medjugorje, whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, it ain't gonna happen. A book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled MEJ.com, or call Caritas in the U.S. 205-672-2000. 205-672-2000.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Ladies and gentlemen, I can't tell you how much I appreciate, admire, and respect a man like Pastor Brett McAtee, who leads his congregation the way that so many of the clergy during the American Revolution, you know, I was talking with a very renowned doctor earlier this week who is a supporter of this program, and we talked about the men of the cloth who literally went out and fought and died in the Revolutionary War. You don't see that anymore. You don't see men of the church willing to risk anything, especially not the condemnation of an Antichrist media to stand up for the truth. Thank God we have people like Pastor Brett. The Southern Baptist Convention and other evangelical churches are dying because they alienate men who are the natural spiritual leaders of families. The church today, with its cucking on race, feminism, and immigration, demands that the saving grace of Christ comes attached at the hip with a suicide pact. Does this even qualify as gospel when any sane person must reject the suicidal package offered by the modern church? Dabney, Keith, said as much when examining the sick displays of Finneyism. His point being that any reasonable person would reject such a ridiculous practice of religion out of hand, which means that the very best of people will be alienated from Christianity. And that's where we are today, Pastor Brett. We can only hope that there is some measure of extraordinary grace at work today for the reasonable unbeliever, the disproportionately non-religious conservative white who perhaps supports President Trump, cannot but look at the church and gag. Pastor Brett, your response to that. I know you have prepared for this interview. We've been talking all week about it. I want to give you the opportunity before we toss it back to Keith to share with the audience anything that you've been sitting on.
Well, certainly what you've just said is entirely accurate, that the church has become a largely effeminate society, and men who understand masculinity rightly don't want to have anything to do with it. Our clergy, there's an old French saying, there are three sexes, male, female, and clergy. And we're seeing that all the time. And real men don't want that. Men who understand masculinity. I have sons-in-laws who love Christ, and they have a hard time finding a church because, again, it's the whole idea of the effeminate is pushed as being what the norm is to be for the Christian man. So, you know, that's another barrier that we have to deal with in terms of God's church. And so it brings us back to the idea again of needing to be in prayer that God would raise up better men than me, because I'm a sinner saved by grace, and that God would give us better men than me that could lead by example and preach Christ crucified. And let me just add one more thing that's the most important thing of all. We're losing because Christ isn't being heralded as crucified. We need to say the civilizational things that we're saying, but we can't get back to Christian civilization apart from the message of Christ crucified, taking on the sins of his elect and imputing righteousness to his people. That needs to be hailed from pulpits again, and then connect the dots between Christ's finished work as our great high priest and his continued work as our great high king, which will then give us, by God's grace, Christian civilization again.
Well, Pastor McAtee, what I've observed, and also James said evangelical churches are suffering this loss of membership. Mainline Protestants, Roman Catholics, it cuts across the board. There may be a few, like the Russian Orthodox, that are growing, but it's very few. And I've never in my lifetime, and I'm not a spring chicken, ever witnessed what I'm witnessing now, which is the complete contempt that so many clergy have for the members of their flock. You know, they're not good shepherds anymore.
Well, Pastor, and I would also like to add to Keith's point, which is entirely accurate, the Black Regiment. You know, we were talking about the Revolutionary War, the Black Regiment. What happened to the nation that produced men of God like that?
Yeah, the Black Robe Regiment, which I was just reading about them this week in a book by a chap named Dick Fetridge, Calvinism in History. It's a worldview thing. Our worldview has shifted, and in the shifting of our worldview, we no longer understand that this is the way that God's men act. We've accepted a gospel that's being pushed in many reform quarters, that God has nothing, or the church has nothing to say to the public square. This is called radical two-kingdom theology, can be found at Escondido West Cal Seminary in California. And it's everywhere in the church, and it teaches that in the pulpit, we should not speak to abortion. We should not speak to homosexuality. We should not speak to black idolatry. We should not speak to any of these things because that's outside of our purview as ministers. So when you get that kind of theology being taught in our seminaries, and again, it's ubiquitous, or you get ministers who won't even touch these subjects, never mind pick up a rifle and defend their family.
Keith, did you have anything? I have a follow-up question for Pastor.
Well, like I said, it's the gospel of Peter, Paul, and Mary. It's like Flip Wilson's The Church of What's Happening Now, Baby. And if the church has anything that, you know, if the church or our teachings, the Bible, has anything that isn't in step with The Church of What's Happening Now, Baby, the liberal drift of society, you've just got to, you know, pretend that it doesn't exist. And that's certainly not satisfying. They're not answering the needs of their flock.
Amen.
That's the,
well, so how do we reinstall in these men of the church a backbone?
Do we drive them from the pulpit?
Well, you have to drive them from the pulpit, I think. But their replacement still has to have a backbone. How do we reinstall that backbone amongst members of the faith? I guess would be a better question.
Well, the lady is key here. The lady has to study enough to know what radical two-kingdom theology is, for example. And wherever that identifies somebody holding that, and it's not that hard to do it, they have to say, no, you're not going to be a minister in this church. You're not going to be a minister where you say that Christ doesn't rule explicitly in the common realm, but only rules implicitly in the common realm. You cannot be our minister if you're going to say, like R2K does, you cannot be our minister if you say that there is no such thing as Christian civilization. You cannot be our minister if you say there's no such thing as Christian education, Christian law, Christian politics. If you say all those things are neutral or common, then you cannot be our minister. So the laity has to get involved, and that's hard. That's a hard road, too, because so many of our men are working 60, 70, 80 hours a week, and it's hard to then, on top of that, pick up an understanding of these kind of liar theologies that are now invading our churches.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, you have black liberation theology that you mentioned early on with James Cone.
And not to mention the Schofield theology.
Yeah,
right.
The Schofield Bible and whatnot.
You
know,
cultural Marxists themselves who are ministers.
Right, that's it. And it's, sometimes you wish they were just neutral.
Well, look, you have,
they're not.
You
they're,
have
they're social
men,
justice warriors.
Men of the South. And, Pastor, I respect you entirely, being from north of the Mason-Dixon line, for drawing these very logical conclusions. But men of the South who repudiate their own fathers, I mean, in violation of, what is it, the Fifth Commandment, I believe? Honor thy father and thy mother?
Yeah,
I think
there was one like that.
Repudiating and disrespecting and dishonoring their own patrimony in order to curry favor with what, the media? Well, I mean, this is what we see going on across the South in church after church, and they do it for free. Pastor, a final word to you with 2 minutes remaining, to our audience, to people who adhere to the faith of our fathers, to people who are unbelievers but otherwise supportive, what final parting shot would you like to instill upon them?
Well, I would remind them that God is sovereign. He is not asleep in the throne. Nothing's going on is taking him by surprise. I would remind them that Jesus said, be of good cheer. Fear not, for I have overcome the world. And so we need to continue to have an optimistic mindset. We need not to be so disheartened that we can't lift back up. And we need to realize that God loves bringing in his kingdom by using the weakest means. And sign me up and sign all of us up who are on the minority side as being the weakest means. So I get excited because God is winnowing, 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 and like Gideon of old, he's going to raise up his people, and he's going to wash away the enemy like Pharaoh in the Red Sea.
Amen.
Well, here we are, ladies and gentlemen. Here we are. And listen, I'll tell you this, regardless of how the outcome may be, I am a happy warrior. I am an eternal optimist. I do believe Amen. Things will turn. I do not believe we're going to go out this way, the way that Dan Cathy presents, for instance, But I will do my duty, and I will do my duty, and I will provide a service to my flock, this audience on this radio program. Pastor, I'm sure you could relate to that as the shepherd of your church. And no matter what happens, we will conduct our lives with dignity and honor and with service to our calling and to our duties. And
we need to make,
no matter what, that's what we will do.
We need to make the apostates pay, and we need to have their paymasters pay too. For example, Chick-fil-A. It's not True Cathy's Chick-fil-A anymore. It's Dan Cathy's. So I would boycott Chick-fil-A.
Well, I better not see you there on Monday. We know they're not
going
to be
there.
To...
Hey. I'm not going to get in that big line.
We need to take up the quote from St. Tom Petty. You can stand me up against the gates of hell, but I won't back down.
Yay, ain't that the truth? Ain't that the truth? Hey, Pastor Brett McAtee, charlottereformed.org. We'll just say it so they can spell it. charlottereformed.org. Pastor, what an honor. Always a privilege and a pleasure to talk with you. We'll talk to you again soon, I hope.
God be with you.
And with you.